Dave Fleming, I have a question for you. Do you ever talk to yourself?
All the time. Yes, I'm always talking myself off of a ledge, actually, while I'm writing.
Well, I ask because the thing you wrote, this story about star wide receiver DK Metcalf of the Seattle Seahawks, it starts with him talking to not just himself, but a specific part of his body.
Well, I love this because not only does DK Metcalf talk to his feet actually listen. and his feet do what he says and requests of them. And that's what created probably the most incredible, the most viral moment of the NFL season, if not the sports season so far.
Different receivers, and this time he blocks one and is picked off at the goal line. That's Buda Baker. Buda Baker out in front. Can Metcalf track him down? Can he chase him down? And he does to save a touchdown.
Is DK Metcalf commanding his feet against the Cardinals as he sees Buda Baker pick off Russell Wilson? He just says to his feet, okay, go get him.
No athlete in the NFL is quite like Seahawks receiver DK Metcalf. This terrifying combination of size and strength and, yes, speed. ESPN senior writer Dave Fleming is one of the best at discovering what drives an athlete. And today, he tells us how the 22-year-old Metcalf got to be this way, and how the Seahawks are turning him into even more. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, November 19th. This is ESPN Daily. Dave Fleming, your big cover story on DK Metcalf is out today, ahead of this enormous Seahawks-Cardinals game. This moment that you described for us of DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker in week 6.
It is one of the biggest plays of the season, and it involves DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker and doing it in a way that is just sort of extraordinary and jaw-dropping and immediately viral.
When did you know that you had him?
When I first took off. It's actually crazy because I don't think I was running at top speed in my mind.
And he ends up going 114 yards at almost 23 miles per hour. And he does. He tracks him down. He tackles him. He saves a pick six. And I really do believe Pete Carroll when he says this, that might have been the play of the century.
I was thrilled that he was in the chase just because, you know, what can't he do?
I think one of my favorite parts of the whole play, about the whole sort of viral moment, other than the fantastic hundreds of memes that were created, is when Buda Baker is caught. He's mic'd up for the game, and he's caught after the tackle, kind of screaming out loud what the rest of us have all been thinking about DK Metcalf.
How'd he catch my ass? What the f-?
And I feel like that really sums up the incredible season that DK Metcalf is having. We're all kind of wondering, like, where did this guy come from and how the F did this just happen?
So what were some of your favorite objects that did replace Buda Baker in the memes that you saw of what is now a legendary all-time internet moment?
The whole time I thought, really, the highlight of this whole project is just going to be talking to you about the memes and creating our own memes. The one that I like the most, and I kind of see myself as this example, is DK is me after COVID, and Buda Baker is all the tequila in the world. That's one of my favorites. And, you know, DK's favorite was DK as Joe Biden and Buda Baker as Pennsylvania. I like that one. And yeah, I like the other one was, which is appropriate for this time of year, Buda Baker as anything with pumpkin flavor and DK Metcalf as every single white girl you know.
Dave, in terms of what was cemented about DK Metcalf in that moment, what did we learn about him that his doubters weren't quite sure about until just then?
Here's a guy who is physically gifted, is really sort of on the doorstep of superstardom, but we can all still be surprised by a talent like this, right? It's the idea that the play sort of epitomized this incredible development he's had, where he went from kind of a project, a second round pick by the Seahawks, who was physically gifted and, you know, on the huge end for the prototype for his position. But it's what he's done in the last year that's really been incredible to study.
Yeah, we knew about the physique coming into this season. I mean, Mark Schlereth, the sportscaster, he called Metcalf an absolute freak.
So big, so strong. He's 6'4", 235, and runs a 4.340 in a league of freaks. He's the freakiest of freaks, right? All right, and
we're following. Which is, of course, a thing you say in our business as a compliment. It's an absolute compliment, but how much of an outlier is he physically and why?
Physically, he's the quickest, he's the strongest, he's the biggest person to play wide receiver since a Julio Jones or a Calvin Johnson, also known as Megatron. But if you look at the way cornerbacks literally bounce off of him when they attempt to tackle him.
Wilson has it for the end zone. DK Metcalf has the football and has a Seahawk touchdown.
That's just a big body, man. That dude is just a big body. Go ahead, box people out.
It does feel like he should not be moving this quickly. In the combine, Dave, in 2019, he ran a 4.33 40-yard dash. And then this picture emerged. The first real viral meme in DK Metcalf's internet oeuvre. He was shirtless. He looked like he was somehow wearing Master Chief's armor in Halo. Just, it was his body. The word you use is swole, and I think that's an accurate adjective. But he was that way heading into the combine because he had more time than usual to prepare, and not for reasons that he actually wanted. What happened to DK Metcalf that nearly derailed his chances at playing football at all?
During his redshirt sophomore year at Ole Miss, he is blocking on a kickoff return, and he caught a helmet up under his chin. And it, the way we described it is, it's sort of, it was almost like a pepper grinder motion on his vertebrae.
So I was on kickoff return and I got hit. My left arm felt like it was on fire.
He ended up breaking or chipping off a piece of his C4 vertebrae. They didn't realize until the next day that the piece of bone that cracked off was now sort of resting millimeters away from his spinal column.
If I had got hit any harder, the bone would have went and pierced my spinal cord and I would have been paralyzed.
He was told by doctors and thought for a couple of days that he would never play football again until a specialist looked at it and decided that the bone would heal and that it would be perfectly safe for him to return. So I think what we say in the piece is that his superpower is to be 21 years old, built like he is, but have the perspective of he almost, you know, lost football forever. And so everything after getting that diagnosis that he could come back, none of it's been drudgery for him. None of it's been work for him. It's all been because of the perspective he has. It's a joy to work out and to lift. And so because he decided to leave Ole Miss after the neck injury and he decided to leave early, he had 12 weeks to prepare for the combine, where most players at best have 8 weeks. And clearly he made the most of his extra 4 weeks.
I mean, that speaks to that combination you just said, right? The physical prowess, but also this work ethic. And I have to imagine, Dave, that comes from somewhere deeper.
Everything that he's accomplished goes directly back to his mom and dad. And DK's dad, Terrence, was an All-American lineman at Ole Miss and then played 7 years with the Chicago Bears. And just always sort of knew intrinsically that DK had sort of a special gift as far as work ethic, as far as just liking to work out.
He just showed just crazy strength when he was a young kid. And I went to the strength and conditioning coach with the Bears at the time, and I kind of explained to him what I was doing, and he was just like, hold off on that, you can stunt his growth. And he told me just put him on the resistant bands. And he just fell in love with that kind of stuff.
His friends always called DK Lil Muscle when he was young. And that, to me, kind of sums it up. This kid has been a workout warrior at the side of his father since he was 5 years old.
What were Lil Muscle's combine numbers like?
DK tells me the story about how his dad swears that when he was five, he could bench press 50 pounds and squat 100 pounds.
My dad will go to his grave with this one, that I was benching 50 pounds and squatting 100 pounds at 5 years old.
What?
I know. And without missing a beat, I say, well, I'm pretty sure if you talk to my dad, he says I could bench press 55 pounds and squat 105. So I've got you beat there, but congratulations. And it's like, the old classic, you know, guys comparing how much they can bench when they're 5 years old. But yeah, so that's his dad was like, he was a workout freak from the time he was 5 years old.
All right. After the break, I want to ask Dave about how exactly DK continued that trajectory, making the big jump from good to great.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
With the 64th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select DK Metcalf, wide receiver, Ole Miss.
Oh, boy.
Dave, how did he drop to 64th overall? Because that's where the Seahawks take him in the 2019 draft. And he seems like such a perfect pick in the way that like Mahomes to Kansas City or Lamar Jackson to Baltimore are perfect picks. How did 63 players go ahead of him?
The one thing in the NFL that scouts know that they can count on is medical red flags. DK, he broke his foot when he was a freshman in college, and then basically 20 games later, broke his neck and was at the combine 6 months later. It makes sense in some cases that he dropped to 64th. It's a value pick. It's a smart pick. And I think one of the things you realize about DK being so mature for being just 22 years old is he followed that usual cliche, you know, I can't believe these people got picked ahead of me. But he realized after a while, it was the greatest thing in the world. And he was so lucky that he got picked when he did and by the team that he did.
Hello,
DK.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, bud? Yes, hey, man, get fired up. We're going to make you a Seahawk right here, okay? You all right, bud? All right, man. Congratulations.
And the fact that the Seahawks end up taking him, I mean, Pete Carroll talks all the time about culture in that locker room. How did spending his rookie season in Seattle prepare DK for this launch into superstardom that we're kind of watching right now?
That's why I have so much respect for Pete Carroll, because so much of the NFL is stuck in the old ways, right? Where it's like, instead of working smarter and faster, it's just about putting in hours. But not Pete Carroll, right? He has adapted all these sort of new modern processes, and And DK is a product of that. You know, his dad warned him about the way he was going to get hazed as a rookie, because that's what his dad knew just 10 or 15 years ago in the NFL. But instead, so DK says, I go into my first camp with the Seahawks and I'm looking to fight somebody because I'm not going to get punked by veterans, you know, making me carry their helmets. And it was the exact opposite. In Pete Carroll's franchise or program, all the veterans, they mentor the rookies. They don't haze them. It's like football for grownups. And DK is a product of that. He's developed in 2 years from a raw talent that needed a lot of work into an all-pro wide receiver. And it's because of the team that drafted him.
So is there a moment from this season that you point to as a showcase for the growth that DK Metcalf has displayed from his rookie season to now?
It's almost kind of been one week after another. You know, he catches game-winning catches against the Cowboys.
Russell looks, sets, has time. Going to throw to the end zone. DK, he makes the catch! Touchdown, Seahawks! And it's DK Metcalf.
He basically is a one-man wrecking crew on that final game-winning drive against the Vikings.
Wilson surveys, fires, and it is going to be caught by DK Metcalf for a touchdown.
But I think what he did to the Patriots, to me, that was immediately kind of summed up the growth that he's done. There is a route that he ran against the Patriots, against the defending defensive player of the year, that you see this normally in a 10-year veteran wideout, right? They've got him lined up in the slot because now he's expanded his repertoire of routes because of all the work that he's put in during the offseason with Russell Wilson. Because of the way he runs his route, he tricks the defensive player of the year into biting on a crossing route. And the minute he does, DK, and this is a theme, tells his feet to plant. They listen to him. He plants and he goes in the opposite direction and catches a 54-yard touchdown to help beat the Patriots.
Wilson, it is, he throws deep downfield. It's going to be caught by Metcalf for the touchdown. And he beats the defensive player of the year as well.
It's incredible for a player to run that route and to do all the things that he's doing at top speed, whether it's tricking the cornerback or freezing the safety or getting people to move just based on his head or his hand position. This is as good and as nuanced and as sophisticated as route running gets in the NFL.
You mentioned his relationship with Russell Wilson, his quarterback, and you write in your piece how they have a depth of connection here that is unusual. How did they establish that in the offseason?
Offenses in the NFL, especially passing offenses, have evolved to the point where the quarterback and the wide receiver have to be exactly on the same page because they're playing in the future. It's all about anticipation, right? That's how fast the game has gotten. The ball is usually going to a spot. And they have to trust each other that I'm going to the spot where you're going to deliver the ball. And they have spent countless hours. You know, there's no secret to this process. It's about reps. It's about mind-numbing and boring and dull reps. And then over the summer, during the quarantine and when COVID hit, they pretty much locked down together in Mexico and sort of took their relationship and their connection as a wide receiver and a quarterback to a completely different level.
So it's funny to imagine DK having a big brother and that big brother being a guy who is so much smaller than him in Russell Wilson. One of the stories that I don't think I'm ever gonna forget involves swimming. What exactly was that about?
Okay, so when DK was 4, his mom took him for swimming lessons. And I just love this story. DK, being DK, was with all his friends. They all go running toward the pool. And his friends, who could all swim, they all jump in together, except DK has not taken any swimming lessons, so he doesn't know how to swim. So his mom describes it as all the other kids jump in, there's a big splash, all the other kids come back up to the surface and start swimming. Not DK, he's sort of back at the bottom of the pool wondering what exactly I'm supposed to do. And so she has to kind of jump in and fish him out. And that instilled in him this incredible fear of swimming. And so even as a 21-year-old professional athlete, he couldn't swim. And Russell Wilson was like, oh, I know Michael Phelps, and he's given me tips on how to teach people how to swim. So come on, get in the pool. I'll teach you how to swim.
Wait, wait, wait. So Russell Wilson is like, I'll teach you how to swim. I will do it by channeling the advice of my good friend, the greatest swimmer of all time, Michael Phelps. That's how this happens.
Okay. Is that not the most Russell Wilson thing you've ever heard, right? Hey, DK, put your life in my hands. I will keep you alive. And oh, by the way, I'm going to give you advice from Michael Phelps.
Russell Wilson is pretty clear about how high the bar is. He compares the two of them to Joe Montana and Jerry Rice.
I don't think anybody's ever played with a guy like him in terms of his size, his stature, his ability, his physical nature.
So why do you think that Wilson believes that that kind of greatness is in store for DK?
I think he's like everybody else this season, where we've watched him and we're like, oh my God, I've never seen a guy this big and this strong and this physically gifted who actually can run the routes and can do the sort of intricate movements, but on top of that, understands the game and is on the same page with his quarterback. One of the things that they've already set their mind to is the record for quarterback wide receiver touchdowns together is Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. And it's 118. And literally it will take them at least 10 years, right? A decade. But both of them are like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, I can't think like an hour ahead these days. So to think a decade in advance is unfathomable to me, but you're saying, Dave, that after getting through this whole reporting process, you're buying stock in that.
Oh, yeah. And I should say, I mean, I'm still thinking about tequila. And we mentioned that like a half an hour ago in the show. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to go too far off topic. But what I always tell people who don't cover sports or don't cover the NFL is, to me, what the most incredible thing is not the size of these players. It's how well they can move. It's not the fact that a lineman is 330 pounds. It's the fact that he can move like a ballerina. And DK Metcalf is the first wide receiver where I've had that same feeling where it's like, I've just never seen anybody this big who can move like that.
Dave Fleming, that tequila has no idea what's about to hit it. Thank you for joining us, Dave, on ESPN Daily.
My pleasure.
You can find Dave's full ESPN cover story, Chasing Down Glory, at ESPN.com right now. Coming up, what's it like to be with one of basketball's most notorious families on draft night? We go inside the Ball family compound and find out.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Here's another story I want you to know. There was no bigger name in last night's NBA draft than LaMelo Ball, who got drafted third overall to the Charlotte Hornets. And while you might have glimpsed the big baller house on television, Tim Kuen was in the inner sanctum with LaMelo and LeVar and Lonzo and LiAngelo, reporting a story for ESPN.com. So I got him on the phone. So, Tim, where are you right now?
Pablo, I am almost directly under the triple B in front of the big baller house right here in Chino Hills, California, outside the Ball family compound. And I'm about 20 steps from the fountain. If you hear a little bit of water, that's the fountain. So I'm out front.
So you're underneath the family crest. You're on the premises. Tim, what's the scene like? What's the atmosphere there tonight?
Well, it was a pretty big group here, Pablo, and just to give you a little taste of it, to get into the LaMelo Ball draft party, you first had to sign a waiver, have your temperature checked, and then you had to go into through the main entrance where there is a Big Baller gift pack on the entry table with Big Baller brand pillows, a cutting board, coffee mug, coasters, and dish towels, just for display only. They weren't giving them out, but they were right there. LeVar is wearing his I Told You So Big Baller brand baseball cap. About an hour before the draft, a beautiful white Rolls Royce SUV rolled up, and LaMelo came out of the guest house where he stays with LiAngelo and Lonzo, and came running out shirtless to get into it and drive it around for a while. And I talked to the guy who delivered the car, and I asked him who provided it as a present. It's clearly a draft day present. And the guy only told me, we brought it here to see if he would like it. So apparently he did like it. He told me he liked it very much. So all of this happened as a prelude to LaMelo being drafted third by the Charlotte Hornets.
So in other words, Tim, about as understated as you expected.
Absolutely. Just so under the radar. And when the pick was announced, LaVar, who was relatively quiet for part of the night, announced, tell MJ we're coming.
I mean,
so we may get that one-on-one we've been waiting for.
Yeah, I mean, he had said famously that he could beat Michael Jordan in one-on-one. Michael Jordan is the owner of the team that his youngest son is now the star rookie for. I mean, if you were to describe LaVar in terms of this victory lap, Tim, what else did you see from him?
Well, I think like all middle-aged dads, he was obsessed with the volume on the television. He kept asking it to be turned up and turned down. It was just never quite right. He was actually pretty understated. He cheered loudly when Minnesota took Anthony Edwards and said something to the effect of, good job, Anthony, because apparently Minnesota was not at the top of the family list. He was here. It was clear he was here, but he was not vocal. He was silent for most of the first couple picks. And then when LaMelo was chosen, and on the television they showed a graphic that he and Lonzo were the first two brothers ever to be drafted in the top five of the lottery. LaVar announced to the room, "Nobody ever done what I did," and promptly walked out with his shower shoes and his shorts and his Big Baller brand "I Told You So" cap.
Tim, I presume at some point after the COVID test, did you have to sign like a waiver? Because I assume this is also a reality television program.
I did have to sign a waiver. And, you know, I thought it was partly for medical, but you're probably right. My likeness, which will not be seen anywhere since I was attempting to stay as far in the background and away from everybody as I could per protocol.
So does this mean that you also didn't happen to swipe one of the Big Baller brand dish towels?
You know, Pablo, it's very tempting because they, as we speak, are maybe 20 feet away and they are beckoning. There is no one else here. If I wanted one, I could have one, but professional ethics keep me from bringing one home.
Tim Kuen, I appreciate you valuing journalism over thread count.
It's the least I can do.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.